Okay, cool. Let's try it again. There's nothing Lesotho born, South Africa based Tshidiso Monaheng does not do. If he's not writing killer pieces on African hip hop, he's dissecting jazz, photographing performances all over the country, or shooting documentaries and EPKs for your favorite jazz musicians. That's a quote from an article Usabelo Mkabela wrote about you on OK Africa 2018. Welcome, Tshidiso, to this audio's visual. Wagwan.
I feel like we should have like an audience clap for me, yo.
Does that suffice?
Yeah, man.
It's good to have
you. Are you an audience?
I am.
Yeah, well, you are an audience.
I am an audience.
You're the host and the audience.
Like, I mean, I've been watching you for the longest time and just watching you grow and become this monster that you are behind the camera. And
you know, like when I started taking images, I was looking at your work a lot.
Oh, damn, is it?
This was like early. No one knows, like, because I don't tell people how much they influenced me.
Mm.
Or rather, like, I don't go back, like, just because it would sort of scare you and you'd be like, yo, this motherfucker's a freak. But yeah, I get really deep into the work of people that I like.
Mm.
But the first time that I heard you was on a record with Sabza.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah,
joint?
I know that song. Damn, you just took me back to that day.
Yeah.
Meeting up with Sabza for the first time.
Was that the first time?
First time, and he was wearing pink skinny jeans.
Oh my god!
My dude.
Yeah, but that dude has always been like.
On record, I was like Sabza, the lyrical prophet. Yeah, we still laugh about that till this day, man. But I was right, though. He is like sort of. Scribe of some sort, of note. So you're from Lesotho, Tshidiso, and when you arrived in South Africa, what was your impression of the place then and now?
I don't know. I can't even recall. Like, that was like 11 years ago when I got here.
Mm-hmm. What, you came down for school or university?
Yeah.
How was that experience?
How was it?
Mm.
It was cool. It was actually this week in 2008.
Damn, you even keep dates? Keep track of dates?
Was it this week? Oh, no, maybe. Yeah, I just feel like it was this week. But it could have been earlier. But it was January, towards the end of January, early Feb, like when campus kind of opened.
Mm.
Yeah.
I've never asked you this before, but what were you studying at UCT?
Computer science. I'm a computer science graduate.
Oh, damn.
Stupid. Yeah.
Now that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Cool.
So what prompted you to start like documenting the life scene of South Africa?
That's what I've always been doing from home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm hip-hop, man. You know, so I used to follow my friends around and shit. And I mean, I was rapping too, but like during the
time. People even know that? How many people even know that?
Yeah, like, very few. And I'd like to keep it like that.
Nah.
Yeah.
Discreet as possible about it.
Yeah. Mm. But I was doing the whole thing. Like, so in a cypher, I'd be holding the cam. Recording the cypher.
So wait, you,
when it comes to me, I pass it to the other dude.
Oh damn! I was about to ask that. So you were rapping and recording at the
type thing. Yeah, yeah.
So you've been documenting
straight up, like the dude, like since the early 2000s. I would have done it earlier if you know, like I had the means and whatever, but. Since the early 2000s, we've always been some form of archiving and recording with friends and all of that other shit. Yeah.
Well, what's your fascination with documenting and archiving? Because you're big on that. Like,
I guess like with through a conversation that my uncle had with me, it's through many things, but one of the things like my uncle was just what. He's like a really smart dude, you know. He's like a smart dude. So he just always be telling me this shit about his years in Cuba and stuff, you know what I mean? And but one particular thing struck out. Oh, he was like, what? Chronicler. I just remember the word chronicler. And I don't know if he was referring to me mm-hmm. or something or someone. But yeah, so from that, I was just like, it became interesting. But it really started to take shape when we had an underground scene in Maseru, which is where I'm from. And no one was really paying attention to that because we're just a bunch of rowdy Basotho kids. We doing this American thing. And is that video live? You can put it on live.
You're right.
Nah, don't do that. Fuck that.
You want to be behind the camera and not in front of it.
No, don't do that. Please.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you were documenting the scene at Maseru.
Yeah, so it started from there and then mm-hmm. it just got better, man. Like, my mother was working overseas at that time and he would, like, cop. The one time he copped, like, a cam. Like, you know, those point and shoots.
Mm-hmm.
But that was even like years after I'd started making images.
So you were already
of
conscious of the fact that you were doing this and you're documenting and you're starting to act. Or was it just like
a hobby? That I enjoyed. Mm. Like, I really enjoyed like moving around with the camera and pointing it at my homies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then so it grew from that into me, like into mom's like copping the camcorder joint. And then into now actively doing that, but still not really like I only became intentional about it, like, I don't know, maybe last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even now I'm still like, cause I don't want to take myself seriously. And that's one thing that I'm always careful to do, to not be too hung up about my shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm saying that because, yo, yesterday, like, I was looking at some document that a lady sent me, which is like some guide, yeah, well, for one of these publications that I write for, and I was like, yo, you guys take yourselves too seriously.
Well, what do you mean by taking yourself too seriously?
Fucking, I don't know, man. Like, you know when you're, like, self-important?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you think, like, what you're doing is, like, really essential for humanity. I don't see myself as that. I'm not a voice for the poor. I'm not the voice the voiceless.
What does that even mean, dude, like, a voice for the poor?
Hey, man, you should just ask the motherfuckers like, who always be like, saying that.
But when you're very vocal about a lot of things and a lot of your, like, your thought processes and your ideas or perceptions about Izinto, I get to catch on Twitter, right? So I saw this tweet recently on your timeline and it read, to be seen, dot, 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 dot.
Yeah.
Please complete that. What were you talking about?
Man, it's just to be seen is greater than anything else. Like, mm-hmm. if someone comes up to you and be like, yo, I see you, G. You know what I mean? Because,
mm-hmm.
like, a lot of the time I just feel like no one is really looking at my work. Or like no one is really acknowledging me and to a large extent it is like that and I'm okay with that and I know the reasons for that.
Mm-hmm.
But also know that there are people who've been like, dude, I have people like you, like Sabe, mm-hmm. or like Roviwa, like they always be checking out, like, you know what I mean, whatever it is that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's another like a couple of homies, you know, mm-hmm. like 10 or so people that are always like, you know, like all these people I really love and that I really hold close and they hold me in community and you know, like I'd be really fucking heartbroken if they were to die or whatever. But that's that. I'm content with that, you know, so to have them see me and acknowledge me and let me know that they love me. That's, yo, man, like, how many people can say they have that?
Mm.
Like, that level of, like, genuine things. Because most of those connections that happen on a large scale are you know, cosmetic, really. You'll have conversations with these people and they'll always be, yeah, that's dope, but You know what I mean?
Surface level stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I hear you, man. Like, on the topic of community, I saw while I was reading this article that Sabza wrote about you, you speak about community in such a... It took me back. Like, it sort of made me rethink what community is and what being communal with people means. So just like share your ideas and thoughts on community and having people around.
So I live in town, right? I grew up, when I was growing up, and I don't know if this is the same with you, my parents would have friends come over. They always had this thing, man. And even now, like, they still go to people's funerals. They still visit their neighbors. You know what I mean? Like, we'd, like, hang out and, you know what I mean? Like, so you had, like, a circle around you. And now living in the city or in a city like Johannesburg, that's very hard to come by, you know, because we live in these silos, right? But then, like, so always just thinking about, like, community in that way. Like, how do you rebuild or recapture that, but like in a way that doesn't attempt to go back, but that attempts to imagine a new home for these people, other people who had an equal experience growing up, you know what I mean? But it's kind of been usurped from us now. But also it's like kind of taking reins in terms of like realizing that, yo, maybe it's my time, and I need to like really think about, like, so one of the things that constantly bothers me is just how much of a distance exists between me and my nephews and my nieces, right? So I've just been thinking like what myself and my sister can do in order to like bring them closer and be more involved in their lives. You know, like, can we like develop a yearly tradition maybe where we just like bring them over and like bribe for them and cook for them, and you know, like, maybe during the year we're always calling one another up and, like, you know what I mean? So, yeah. What was the question?
Yeah, that was, like, just, like, the importance of community and what
it's, it, so it is important because you have a base from which to operate. Like, I'm saying, you guys are my community. You know what I mean? Like, that's, like, I know that I have that. If you were still in Cape Town and were not busy, and I'm flying there tomorrow, and I could say, like, yo, let's grab a burger or whatever, you'd pitch up, you know what I mean? Or if whoever was in whatever other city, like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
That's dope, dude. Like, I really resonate with that as well. And it's totally, like, for me, like, it's really important to have, like, people that you know you can reach out to even at your lowest and know that those
straight
people
up
will be there for
up
you and show
yeah
up.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Your work, dude, like, it's very distinct. Like, I can tell if I come across an image, I can tell if it's a CD Somona Hang image.
For real?
That's like fire. Is that something thank that you, like, I'd say you work a lot in isolation most of the time.
That's because no one wants to fuck with me, though. Yeah.
So it's not something of a choice?
Nah, G, like, I be... Dude, do you know how many people I've reached out to? Just be like, yo, can I... And they're like, just don't see me, man. Like, and I'm like... Because I know where that comes from, you know what I mean? Firstly, I'm not from here, and secondly, there's just like a lot of factors at play.
But do you really think it's because you're not from here?
Yeah.
Legit?
I know. Not think, I know.
You know this.
Yeah. Like, dude, like, you know, like, I spoke about this thing with my mom over the holidays where she was, I told her, like, you know, sometimes or like a lot of the time, like within the first minute of meeting you, like, I know whether we're gonna vibe
or not.
You know, like, I know. And then she was just like, yo, that's actually something that I get from her. And then she was just tipping me on how to handle that vibration and that energy and all that shit, you know what I mean? So yeah, these are things that I know, and these are things that I've always been comfortable with from childhood. Like, it's not like something new, you know. It's something that's kind of always been there as a child, like, just feeling that I'm not seen in the world. But my parents saw me, so that was cool. My sister sees me, that's cool. I'm cool with that, you know what I mean? Like, those are the people that matter to me anyway, so like, you know what I mean? Like, I remember the first time that I knew, like my sister said, like, what? I heard a Koraka song on the radio or something. I was just like, oh shit, you listen. Mm-hmm. And I just, tears came streaming from my eyes, man. Like, so to me, like, it's been a journey of deciding what is important and sticking with that and not like asking my ancestors for any other thing more than what I already have, and making do, like maximizing what I already have. Mm. Yeah. So I don't like working in isolation. I'm just working in isolation because, like,
that's the situation.
No one wants to fuck with me.
Mm.
Yeah.
I feel you, man.
Yeah.
Like, but I think you've handled that quite well, because you are not crying in a corner. You're just creating work.
Yeah.
And I
also
think that's like the one thing I really admire about you. You don't wait on a brief or
yeah,
or someone to, or a company or what to give you that, like, yo, Tidiso, you're the one.
Thank you, man. That's also from like the rap shit. Cause when we started out rapping, we wanted to like be like everyone and record like at a studio, have that experience. And it was just like, nah, this rap thing, we only fuck with gospel. So my friend, Mokheti Rampeta, he just got software. that's actually an interesting story about how we got pirated software from the national broadcaster.
And, damn.
Yeah. And
the
we,
national broadcaster.
Yeah. And we started recording rap songs and making beats and all this shit.
How did you guys manage to do that though? Like,
hey man, you should ask him. That's some shit that he pulled off, you know what I mean?
Yo, that's
straight up
major, dude. Yeah, damn. Yeah, yeah. I'm just so, thinking about that now. It's wild.
Yeah, straight up. Like, when I think about it now, I'm like, fuck. and shit, like, it was wild because, like, installation packs used to be, like, 15 megabytes at that point.
Mm.
Nuendo 1.0, which is what the DAW that we used to record, like, that was 1.0. And then we had, like, Fruity, and then there was Reason. And when Reason came, you know, niggas was making beats and I was, all this other shit, man. But yeah, it's from that, like, learning how to make it on your own. So everything that I'm doing now, it's something that I've been doing for like 20 or more years.
So yeah. It's not like an overnight thing. You've been at it.
I've been at it, G.
You've been at,
like,
it.
And not even consciously, you know, which is the dope part about it. Like, you know, just going to school and, you know, like, doing what the parents expect of me and behaving and all this shit, but like also like not being content with just being a student.
Mm.
You know, so like we would at the crib, like someone would bring along the radio and we'd plug in the mics and we'd rap to beats and all that shit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been that flux of like rap shit and, you know, like, but also like a lot of guidance from the people that were around me, a lot of listening to like older dudes that mm-hmm. used to, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I think you epitomize, dude, like this audio is visual, because not only are you within those circles where people are making music and you're documenting that, but you yourself at some point made music.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, whoa.
Respect.
Like you are in the midst of.
You remember when we did the shoot for that for your album?
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember.
That was fine.
It's okay. Yeah, I remember that. It was on a Sunday. I remember that.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Noni was actually talking about when we went to her house the Saturday to go get the wig from her. She was laughing about that. It was like, damn,
oh,
time flies.
Oh man.
That was 2017.
Yeah.
It really flies. So like on that, like you have like a big love for reggae. Like what's
straight up, that's
where does
from,
that stem from?
That's from the crib, man. Like mm-hmm. Two of my uncles are Rastafarian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you know, one of them was in England and was studying. Shit, it's a wild story, G. And when he came back after 4 years, like from the plane, he had grown dreadlocks and it was fucking all this other shit, you know what I mean? And he influenced my other uncle and, you know, like he brought along like tapes with him and, you know, he's passed away, but he left around like fucking crates worth of vinyl and CDs mm-hmm. and shit. I still want to go to his house and inspect. Just inspect, don't take anything, you know, just like, yo, it's really good. So that's where the love for roots reggae comes from, man. And also my mom is very much into like her Jimmy and her Peter Tosh and, you know, her, my mom loves music. My dad too. Although I feel like my mom was more fanatical in the way that I am about music. But I think my dad, it's just like my father is really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
He's like super quiet. So I can, you know what I mean? Yeah. But like sometimes, man, like, because he put me on to like a lot of shit. Like, I think my love for jazz actually stems from him.
Mm-hmm.
So the love for reggae is from my mom. And I grew up during early house and then Kwaito and then, you know, it morphed into all these other things. But at the same time, I was fucking with hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like, but roots is, that's childhood, man.
There's a section on that same article, Gasabs. I'm gonna keep going back to it because I think that's like one article where I read your thoughts and I kind of understood what your stance is in this like whole game or monopoly that's happening. So you talk about how like when you spend time with jazz musicians, you learn something new, but when you spend time with like a hip hop producer, they'll tell you stuff about maybe J. Cole or some cat in the States. I find that like really...
Nah, I didn't say that.
How did you flip it?
I flipped it like producers know and musicians mm-hmm. are more insightful
mm-hmm.
with their shit. Whereas like rappers or stuff, they always like out
talking there about somewhere. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I guess then my question or like what I wondered about was your fascination with knowledge. Also like mainly like most of the stuff that you do, right, is self-taught.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
So I
now guess, that you say it, I've just figured, yeah.
yeah, it's self-taught. So it kind of made sense as well if then you're always seeking knowledge and you've taught yourself this much.
Yeah.
So you then are able to create work that is very distinct.
Mm.
I always go back to this because really your work is like...
For real.
It's very distinct.
You know who also helped it in terms of that, especially the visual aspect? It's a guy called Lisolo Mzipikoli, Fuzzy Slippers, who's one of the best artists in the world to me. But he was just like, yo, man, you should... He gave me an aesthetic, essentially, and I just flipped it my way. Yeah, and that was 2015 because we were hanging around a lot, just creating a lot of work
mm-hmm.
Over 2 years, actually, that we still need to decide what we're going to do about it. Yeah. And Fuzzy is also someone that I actually met when I moved to Cape Town,
mm-hmm.
early Cape Town, so like this in rap circles. And he was a rapper. You remember, what's that group? Those two white boys. Well, three white boys. It's not one.
Which group is this?
I forgot about them. But yeah, he kind of like had a verse on their first song or one of their first songs, you know. And so that's how I met Fuzzy. And just this dude, man, that you know had always been around in Cape Town circles, and I was always running into him. But when I moved up here and we reconnected, you know, we just started messing with one another. Well, he started messing with me because I've always been like down with Fuzzy, bro. Like, yo, that dude is, yeah, man. Like, so the other thing that I have is like this really great reverence for artists of all disciplines,
mm-hmm.
illustrators and, you know, musicians and whatever, painters, whatever you call them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's one of the dope dudes that I like know. So he gave me my aesthetic, man. Like, I was like, yo, man, you should try do like this. Oh yeah, actually it was for his own shit. And I was like, I should incorporate that and see how that works. But even before then, like, so he gave me a feel,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Yeah, for what I'm doing now. Yeah.
Do you think it's important like for creatives to have an aesthetic and blueprint of some sort where one like is able to say whether or not it's an Andy or it's a Diso print or sound?
I don't know. I'm indifferent. I just do me, G, mm-hmm. like whatever. And what you want to do is what you want to do, you know. I don't think about it much, but I definitely know that I am not trying to follow a template, you know, like, but I know how the templates work.
Mm-mm.
I know how the industry works.
So
I know shit.
So you know the rules and you break them.
To break them. I'm just like, I don't fucking, they're not mess for me, you know, like, so why should I? Dude, I never understood, like, you know, adjusting yourself so that you can look into, like, you know what I mean? Back to the rap shit. That's just how we ran.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one was really, like, welcoming of us. We're like, all right, cool. We can't really change.
Yeah.
So we will just vibe out and you vibe out and we can all exist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then that takes me to, like, You're very, like, from my observations, you're an unorthodox person. You just do your own thing, create and put out work whenever you want, not at a certain time because people are engaging with content at that time.
Yeah.
Whenever you feel.
Yeah.
You go and do.
Yeah. Why not? Man, I've got a camera, and if someone wants to shoot some shit, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, we don't have to put up those images on Instagram. We don't have to have a live story. We don't. Well, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Like, I just feel like, whatever. Let's vibe out. Let's be in this moment. Let's create great shit. Whenever it comes out, however it comes out.
Well, it happens.
It happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then just the internet, Yona. Like, how do you, like, navigate that space? Are you using it just only to put up your stuff and have a place to host them, or is it also like a platform where you're able to communicate with the band and just voice out like some stuff that you're passionate about? Or
I don't know, because I've been on the internet forever, so for me it's always been like a place where I go to download illegal shit.
You are too deep.
So I've always been into that pirate culture, man.
Mm-hmm.
But then now, like, with subscriptions and all this shit, like, it's kind of becoming like, okay, I have the money to fucking do this thing. Why am I still having to deal with malware and all this other shit just trying to get the album?
Well, when
I can buy it or I can stream it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the internet is... Hey, man, people have said all types of shit about it. I just wish people were more accurate with their terminology when speaking about internet mm-hmm. culture, because that gets lost when you start marketing things, right? People want to simplify the jargon, and in simplifying the jargon, you really, like, you dumb down on, like, or rather some people just don't get it, so they're like separated with, like, they mix it with something else that's not really that. So I'm always like on the net and be like, no, that's not that. That's, yeah, sure, an algorithm, but that's mm-hmm. not what an algorithm does. You know what I mean? Like all this other shit. And in terms of like my work, it's like, man, like just the fact that like 2-3 people can see an image that I made, that to me is major.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That to me is just like, if 5 people are visiting my blog, like that's just like, yo, man, fuck. That to me is unprecedented. So in strategy, they teach you this thing called the flatteners, right? There were at that point 10 flatteners of the earth, which is what the events that happened so that globalization could materialize. And amongst those are, you know, like the fall of the USSR, the fall of the collapse of the USSR, the fall of the Berlin Wall, all these other things, mm-hmm. right? And then the internet is another flattener, where now you have like cats that wouldn't have mattered in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, you know, people have a voice. Like, if someone turns down my article, or like I just feel like writing about someone, I just do that and I put it on my blog. You know, whoever checks it out check it out. Yeah. Like whoever, like, and not a lot of people check it out. And that's okay. But, you know, that shit is out there and these thoughts are like out there and they're accessible. You know what I mean? And that also, like, as Black people, we need to rather like think a lot about like our archive, building the Black archive that we own and can control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one of the things that Nolan, the artist called Nolan Dennis, was kind of like trying to do, I guess, build a server, like a where African content, whatever that is, gets, you know, like put up there and all this other shit. Yeah,
it's dope, dude. Mm. Like, just like the whole idea of like having like a Black archive like fascinates me. It's something that really needs to be done. Yeah. But I mean, I think you're working towards that. So what's the, like, what's the end goal? Like, is there like a vision of some sort that you want for, or you want your how can I pose this question? What's the end goal for your work? Like, what are you working towards, if there is?
I want, if someone, say, was writing an article about BCUC in 20 years' time, I don't want them to go onto whatever search engine there will be and see this image that they really dig, but they can't use because, you know, it's owned by some, mm-hmm. one of these people, those people, you know, like, so I want there to be like a home for the images at some point where people that wish to access the work can go and just access the shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my capitalist side will come out and I'll be like, pay me a certain amount. But I don't know, man. Like I make my money in many ways, so I'm not really like very much, you know what I mean, into like the notion of like privatizing knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Also, because, and that's the other thing that the internet has done. It's democratized knowledge. But in so doing, it's sort of made us lazier, because everything is literally out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But people will still ask you where to get your music.
Mm.
I'm like, well, you can Google that.
Simple.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to be having this conversation. Can we talk about what we're not talking about? You know?
What are some of the things people are not talking about?
A lot. In the Uber when I was coming here, the driver was just saying like how, you know, in a work environment, you know, like a Black person will be paid more than like a quarter of what the white person is getting paid. So I need to be like, yeah, sure, but you do know that Black women get paid less than you are paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to have these conversations about how within us as
Black people,
African people, mm-hmm. I don't know about Black, because Black is, in America, I'm not Black, I'm African.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm just like, okay, so this Black is really premised on a whiteness. You know what I mean? So I'd rather African, if you were to label me, even though that's still like problematic, because Singaband, you know what I mean? Singaband, you know what I mean? We people of the soil. So it's really that, like, talking about the issues that concern us as Africans, how well within the hood, for instance, because you lived in like what they call the ends in England, you know what I mean? So are the projects in the States, you know what I mean? Here we call them RDP houses,
mm-hmm.
developments and shit. How like I'd be living just in the nicer part of Ilanga. I'll be living like in the nicer part of the hood, and I'd be looking at you like there's that distance, that unspoken distance, like, you know, even within street sweepers. You know what I mean? That's that hierarchy. So I need us to start speaking about that and stop like outside factors, or like thinking about like what Toni Morrison calls a destruction, which is the racism. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, dude, I already know, like, what people think about me. I already know about anti-black sentiments of every other person. Like, I know about that shit. But what I need to start thinking about is, like, how I'm becoming better to my woman, how I'm becoming better to my immediate community.
Immediate, I was about to say that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's what concerns me, and that's, like, the shit that I would like to see more conversations about, or, like, more frank talk about, as opposed to this looking down upon without, like, necessarily reflecting.
Engaging or reflecting.
No, reflecting. Because, like, the people that are responsible for those conversations are fucked up, shitty people. Like, if you meet them in the street, they'll fucking frown at you and all this shit. I'm like, okay, sharp. So what's the politics that are, what is happening here? You know, are we really intentional, or are we being performative for whiteness?
So that takes me to the point of this revolution that everyone is on about. So it's...
Motherfuckers are going to be late for the revolution, G, because you'd be thinking about, you know, Instagramming your shit, like your preparation for the revolution. You'll be thinking about, you know, I don't know what the fuck people will be thinking about. But, you know what I mean? We're not ready for that. You know what I mean? Like, so let's fucking stop talking about it and see how we can organize within our own communities. Because it's very easy to speak grand scale shit. It's very easy to speak like, yeah, this one, we want to do decolonize education and all this other shit. I'm like, okay, sharp, what about we deal with the basics and then we build up from there?
Fucking dope point. Yeah, we really, like, overlook a lot of things within, like, the African community.
Yeah.
Or black community.
Yeah, so we're not dealing with our shit. We're not dealing with the fact that we're not building schools, so our kids always, like, depending on white
people.
Busy
building malls.
You know, I don't know. Malls, maybe they're cool. Like, the kids enjoy them. Let the kids enjoy the malls. But let's also think about the schools. Let's also think about, you know, institutions that will last. Because it's not like we haven't done these things before. It's not like there are no examples of, like, people that look like us, that probably speak like us, that probably thought the same thoughts that we do at some point in their lives.
It's just a cycle of some sort.
Yeah. So we've had these things. So what's preventing us now? You know what I mean?
Damn, dude. You're just making me think about this stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's really important that these, like, type of topics are brought to the forefront so that they can be engaged and dealt with now.
I think so.
You know?
Yeah.
Now. And just, like, on themes, like, let's just speak on some of the themes that you engage with in your work. I'd say, look, from the outside looking in, it's almost like you're documenting. There's a part of your work that documents youth culture a lot. There's jazz. There's a lot.
Yeah,
just,
man.
Just take us through.
I always say, man, like, we can't be one thing. You know? So I'm interested in a lot of things. I document what you call those. I do studio stuff, studio work, also, that I never quite put out. And it's just because, I don't know, whatever. I document what the things that you've spoken about. But I think a lot about the city at the moment. I'm thinking a lot about flux, about movement. They just arrested 21 Savage the other day, and I'm thinking a lot about, you know, like, one of the most hurtful events, I was thinking about it for me from last year, was the Windrush situation in England, where now, like, those people that were asked, these people were asked, dude, by England to come, Caribbean people, to come, and I don't know, they were offered basically like a free pass into the country, right? And now last year, they were expelled. I'm like, what the fuck you mean? You asked me to come here.
No, I'm expelled.
I didn't come here because, you know what I mean? Like, yo, what's really good? That really hurt me. So in the same way, like, the 21 Savage situation really hurts. I'm like, yo, man, how are you going to do a nigga so dirty?
You know...
On the fucking, someone said it was the biggest media days in US on the US media calendar because they had the Super Bowl and shit. So like that shit is guaranteed to like gain maximum attention.
Mm.
What that tells you is like they telling you as an immigrant or as a person that they don't think belongs, that you don't belong. That's a very powerful message.
That is.
You know what I mean? And like now you have all these things that are coming up like around that whole situation. I'm just like, man, fuck. It's so messed up that we have to, or we've, I don't know if it's descending or advanced. I don't know what the fuck is happening on Earth, but we reach those levels of depravity as human beings where we don't see how this will eventually be us. Because it's very easy to be like them without realizing how that threat will one day be here. And you'll be stuck. You know what I mean? Because that's always the thing. We always have this illusion of safety. And that's what capitalism does. Mm-hmm. It provides you with these comforts that make you think like you can manage to live and ignore things. You know what I mean? You can until it happens to you.
So it's quite evident that like, you never think of things as islands or in isolation, that everything is interconnected somehow.
Straight up. And that's how like people that are great strategists do that. They look at like global policy, they look at the markets, they look at all this other shit, you know what I mean? So for me, like, because you asked me like what my, you know, like the things that I do in terms of like, yeah, so for me currently, like my preoccupation is with the city. And with something like Johannesburg, there's so much that you can explore, like, you know, people. So from a social perspective, from an architectural perspective, which is something that I really dig doing.
Mm-hmm.
I also document a lot of street art.
You dig street art?
Dude. Yo. From long time. So like living in this part of town that I'm living, it's ideal because like cats are always staying up here. You know, and they still have this thing, this weird fucking boyish graph thing of battling over territory. Mm-hmm. So someone will write over your piece, and
you know, I was
observing.
That's shit funny, man.
Straight up, I was observing one like it's happening right like just beneath the somewhere like really near here. Where people are just painting over one another's work, man. I'm like, yo, it's lit in these streets, you know? Yeah.
Crazy, man.
Mm.
You collect a lot of photo books, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your collection, man. What do you have now
in your stash? Right now, I have Braendu Chabangu.
Mm-hmm.
I have some things. Myself and Retabile were in Cape Town. Retabile is this brilliant fucking fashion designer and photographer and
mm-hmm.
just all around amazing person. She's also from Maseru. So when we were in Cape Town last year, we copped this joint, which is Night Vision
mm-hmm.
by the National Photographic, National Geographic.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, so like this one of the dope joints that I have. I have a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple. But that Braendu book and another book by, yo, now I've forgotten his name, but like it's a book about Joburg,
mm-hmm.
or rather images of Joburg in the 80s. And it's spots that I recognize because it's like inner city Jersey. So also that resonates also because it's so well arranged, you know? Yeah.
I'm just waiting for a CD, so... photo book, man, please make it happen, because I think that would be super dope just to see like all of the stuff that you've been documenting being in this one book, part of a collection of some stuff.
Straight up, that's some shit by Paul. I don't know whether it's Weinberg or Weinberg.
Let's just say Weinberg.
Yeah, so Paul, this is the shit that I'm telling you about, like, the Joburg shit, that I just like how it's laid out, you know, how it's curated.
Yeah. What's the ideal photo book for Utidi Sombona Heng?
Something that's big, mm-hmm. something that is perfectly curated, and yeah, something but that doesn't try to be everything.
What do you mean but doesn't try to be everything?
Thematic things, yeah, unless it's like a retrospective. Yeah, also that should be thematic. This is thematic, mm-hmm. for instance. Yeah, yeah.
I'll have a look at it.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to ask you something. Let me just open it. I think it has to do with your beef with like systems. You don't come across with someone who likes like systems and going through a system and existing within a system. Although
But that's because the fucking system wasn't built for me, G. So why should I bother with a system that doesn't see me? That's just like fucking unfair to me, G. Mm-hmm. Like always being reminded that you don't belong. Is that how you wanna live, Andy?
Nope.
No. So why should you subscribe to some shit that doesn't see you, fam?
But I guess that's the only way people think you can survive, so they opt for it.
I don't know. I guess I'm just of a different thought, I guess. Andy Lebuka's Buka.
Buka book.
The Buka of Andy Lebuka is a dope attempt. I think I'm looking forward to more. Let's just say that. Yeah. I'm looking forward to more.
Dude, I'm fascinated by how, like, not a lot of freelancers or people who work for themselves, rather, are able to maintain, like, financial freedom of some sort. Like, how do you, like, Kanye, what was your process, rather, for you to get to the stage where you're able to just, like, do the fuck you want because you know that you are able to financially?
What was my process? There was no process. Mm-hmm. It was just like a series of fucking missteps, G. Because I started doing what I was doing early. I've been writing now for like just 13 years professionally. Mm-hmm. So making money from writing. So I learned how to freelance early. Also, my father quit his job like at some point. And he was just like, he built his property and kind of wasn't working for someone.
Have you ever worked a 9-to-5 before?
For 6 months, mm-hmm. as an intern. Does that count? Yes, that's the only kind of job, quote unquote, that I... But also like I had to freelance. Because it was that or being employed in a computer industry that doesn't really, again see black people. not even systemic shit. Like, it just doesn't, like, you there's ceilings in these things when you are people like us, mm-hmm. you know. Because the industries are controlled by people who don't see you. So they'll never let you be what you are capable of. And they'll see that and they'll do everything to crush it, you know.
Feel you, dude.
Yeah, but yeah, like just down that making money and self-sustaining, it's been a process, man. It's still a process. And I realize, like, every day when I wake up, I know this shit can be over any minute, because that's what my mother always told me. It was like, yo, man, how we living right now, we grew up fairly okay at home. We're not necessarily wealthy, but I never like went to bed hungry, which I'm really thankful for. And I grew up within a nuclear family that, like, I know love. Mm-hmm. I've been loved in my life, you know what I mean? So I was very much aware that everything can always be taken at any point. But what I've always come to what I've come to learn also is like to be in the moment, mm-hmm. and not always worry about tomorrow. Shit, you know what I mean? Because like, yo man, the ancestors always show up.
And they do, dude.
Yo man, like, you're in a level, mm, you know, really. so So that's why I'm like, yeah, I can speak all this shit because, like, I know, like, yo, man, after we done with this, I'm going to buy you some food. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know?
We,
you know what I mean? So when someone is trying to egg brain you, I'm like, okay, be cute. I don't.
It's fine.
You know that you don't do anything for me, right? It's like, it's sharp. Cool. Sharp. You know? So people be looking at you and how you dress and how you're moving, and you can feel it. Like, I'm saying these things don't have to be communicated to me because they're revealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what's happening. You should be okay with this. So there's like this preparatory phase in every, because I'm very much self-aware and aware of my environment, you know, so I can read a room really well. That's just rap shit also, but also like hearing DJs about like reading an audience and all this shit, like, because some people be coming in a space that's really like, you know what I mean, sanguine and calm, and they come with like this frequency that just fucks everything up.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So like, I think it's very important to like learn things, to listen to things, to not think of yourself as being superior or knowing better. Back to my parents again, they always told me that you will learn from whoever you come across. Mm. And that's always been the case. Like, dude, I have, yo, man. And I'm still learning. We always learn, man. We're always growing. We're always, like, striving for new heights and new understandings and, like, maybe being proven wrong about the things that I'm saying now. You know, being proven wrong in 2 days' time about everything that I said now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Damn, dude.
Mm.
Like, I think this podcast for me is really, like, just to fan on people and do that. I just want to take this time and tell you that you're fucking awesome, regardless of
who you're sees awesome, you. Andy. You're
fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah,
it's good to see one. Yeah,
that's what I'm always like about. Like, you know, we need to look out for one another because this system that you asked me about is definitely not built for us.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of like despite the things that we see, you know, like. Africa is the future, and we always need to question who's coming up with these things, and it's for like 99, I don't know, whatever percentage of the time, that's not us.
So it's another voice, it's someone else. Really, dude.
Yeah.
So like, just to close it up,
yeah.
Two things. One, like, what's...
Oh, you want me to rap?
Nah, yeah, please that. Do. Because the audio is visual, man. Come on, just one
that.
Line, Yan.
Fuck that. I ain't rapping for shit.
Really doing that now?
Fuck
like,
that.
Oh, you raise it up.
I'm gonna rap for shit.
What?
I rap for nobody.
Sal, it's fine.
Pay me.
Yo.
Yeah. So I just spent like the past week with Oduma and what's his name? Kareem.
Kachu, is it? How do you, is it Kachau or Kachu?
Kachu.
Kachu.
Kachu. Yeah. So it's Dumam and Kachu, ne? And they were asking me to rap. I was like, hell no. Go to my SoundCloud.
My triple W.
Check me on the beat bangers. You know what I mean?
Hey, are you on that? Like, just to close it off, I think it's perfect for you. It would be perfect for you to decipher that verse for us. Because I listened to that verse and I was like, damn, I wonder what Tidis was saying because this sounds fucking awesome.
I think it would be better if like I knew it off by head or something. Mm-hmm. So
but in essence, yeah, what?
It's just Joburg. So I live in the part of the city that's not really nice. So I'm just speaking about what I see there. Because Azul's brief was that, like, just speak about where you're from or where you're based, and Linkris will also speak about his conditions, and that's it. So I say that what I see in Sesotho, that's pretty much it.
Stove.
Yeah, man.
Proper single, man. 2019.
Who,
thanks.
Nah, gee, like, you know what's really weird about the music thing is I know who I want to make my album. Yeah. I know everything, like I know how I want it to be, but I don't want it to be an album. I want it to be like a short film. And I've already written like the soundtrack to it, and so everything's in my head. It's just like I just need to get really bored for like 2 months, and maybe I'll like focus on it. Yeah.
I want to see that come to life.
For real?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we'll think about it. I'm not saying it will happen. It's just like I'll think about it.
That's not very promising, but okay.
Yeah.
I'll hold on to that.
Okay.
Ngosi chumaman, tanda man.
Love you too, Andy, a lot.
Sharp.
Sharp.